Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. You're joining us for episode 629 of Linux in the Ham Shack, the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. This week, we're sharing news, about what's been going on in our lives, as well as the second part of our featured topic about gaming. But before we get into that, we should introduce ourselves. For our silent key, we're us, K5TUX. I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD, and welcome back, everyone. We're happy to continue our fancy featured topic that we started last week. And this may go on for more than just two parts, so we didn't want to say this is the final part of our featured topic. So we're hoping a lot of people will give us feedback and suggestions on how to evolve this particular discussion on gamified learning. So, but before we do that, let's find out what we've been up to since our last recording. Cheryl?
Yeah. So, as everybody knows, I've divided mine down into a couple of different categories for food due to our electric company requesting that we all cut back on electric usage, especially with appliances. I've not cooked a single thing this week. Meals have revolved around cereal and bologna sandwiches. Computer, the usual, although I have added planning Russ's memorial party to my computer tasks. Radio, I haven't been in Russ's shack or, slash office in well over a week now, so the radios are still sitting in there all alone. So, nothing to report there. And other than that, last night, which I shared this news with Bill this morning, our local news shared that this summer, weather-wise, has been miserable. We've had 38 days of 100 plus degree temps with numerous days setting a record, including Saturday and Sunday of this last week. So just yesterday we set a record. 27 of those days had a heat index of 110 degrees or higher. We've had 63 days of 95 plus degree temps, 77 days of 90 plus degree temps, and no rain in 55 days. And we were in a severe drought, which we were last summer as well, and we never recovered from it. Please keep in mind that Missouri is in the middle of the U.S., and therefore, for whatever reason, we are humidity laden. It is not unusual for us to have 80 and 90% humidity on any given day. So it feels like you're being slapped with a boiling hot towel before you stick your head in the oven when you go outside. Today, we added to the 100 plus degree temps. Those are supposed to continue until Thursday, which they're calling for 80 degrees and rain. So yay. And that's supposed to begin our cool down. Days will still be in the upper to mid 80s or mid to upper 80s, excuse me. But a 15-ish degree drop will be welcome. So
very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Well, the weather here has been really nice. It's it's been in the 70s today, so
nice.
We did have a rainstorm come through in the middle of the night last night. I got woken up by thunder and lightning. And then I went right back to sleep. And apparently, between that and my snoring, my wife didn't wake up. So she didn't even know it stormed last night. But driving down Rimrock Road here, which kind of cuts through town along the Rimrocks, you could see all kinds of dirt, mud, and rocks that had kind of come off the rims, which it always does. And anytime we get like more than like 1 inch per hour kind of fall, it creates a lot of muck and just, stuff all over. Places, standing water and whatnot. We did have quite the weather event last night. This morning you just saw wet roads and stuff like that. But I did notice on my way downtown to the theater today that it was a bit dirty on the road. I'm glad I didn't take my motorcycle because I hate going through gravel and silt on the road.
And mud.
It's not very pleasant. But and we are, of course, recording this on Labor Day. So happy Labor Day to all those who celebrate the extra day off from work. Hopefully you guys got a day off from work and you're enjoying it with your family and stuff like that. I did get a a chance to go to Helena this weekend and visited my daughter at college. And we went over to basically Norris, Montana on Sunday, and we floated the Madison River for about 6.5 miles of the Madison on some inner tubes and stuff like that. So yes, many White Claws were consumed and stuff like that on the float, because it's, you know, it's a nice easy drink to have on the float. So I'm enjoying one of those tonight as we record the podcast. Yummy. Apparently I only have the crappy ones left. It's just lime, so I'll soldier through those. Other than that, not been a terribly eventful week in the realm of computers and radio and stuff like that for me. I'm still sort of in my stasis position in my garage trying to reset up everything. I haven't yet had the gumption to tear apart the desks to reset them up the way I want. So at least my floor is clean. I'm going to consider that a win, and then we'll get to this next part here, hopefully over the next few weeks.
Yay.
And then I'll have everything where I want it to be. Other than that, doing stuff with the theater. I'm still about 3 weeks into our rehearsal schedule for HMS Pinafore, and that's going pretty well. Hopefully this little break over the weekend will, people have spent time rehearsing their lines and everything else, and we'll come in strong tomorrow night, and I will know exactly where we are and what we need to work on.
So, yay,
my life. But enough with us. Let's get into our featured topic here, part two of our gamified learning. And we kind of broke this up into sections of things that were related. And Cheryl's going to start with the first one, which is?
Yeah, I'm going to start with study and exam prep tools. And I'm pretty sure that I've used all three of the ones that I'm going to mention. They all essentially cover the same thing. Questions, practice tests, flashcardy type things, sample lessons, and some of these are available on the web only, and some of these are available via phone apps. So, and there is probably more that I forgot, but the ones I'm going to mention are Ham Study, Ham Exam, and Ham Radio Prep. And they were very helpful, even though I'd studied the book, that our friend had written and sent me, a copy of, so I could study. I used this to make sure that I was actually grasping the information, and it worked. So, and it helped me with both my general and my tech. So, I didn't go the extra route. I probably should have, but I didn't. So, and Bill is not going to hold me to that comment either. So, but these are all great to use if you're just wanting to take the dive and get your license, or if you're working on getting more licenses, as time goes on. So yeah, definitely check out Ham Study, Ham Exam, or Ham Radio Prep to help you out with that. So,
yeah, and I know that like Ham Exam and Ham Radio Prep do have a login component to it. So Ham Exam will track how you're doing and how you're performing on your test exams. So yes, as you try those out and kind of play, kind of gamify yourself to get a better score, and you can compare against your previous ones. The Ham Radio Prep site does have some buy up options into various things, including access, like lifetime access and whatnot. Some of the games that they have include, like, the flashcards that you mentioned, but also some matching games and stuff like that, as well as a lot of video content and stuff like that. So more than just games on the Ham Radio Prep course. And I know they have a booth, I'm pretty sure, over at Hamvention when we're there as well. So you can always visit those guys. I believe they sell stuff as well.
Yeah, I believe they do. So...
yeah. So.
Yeah. I think that's the booth that typically hands out the alphabet stickers. stickers, which they give me one every year when I walk by. So I'm not positive, but I think it is. So
could be with our perfect memories that we have.
Because there's no stress involved with Hamvention at all.
No,
remember everything.
But. Absolutely not. And I didn't tell you that we did have a fatality at the Jamboree. One of the TVs did get died.
Oh no.
But okay. Luckily I have a bunch of other TVs, so we're fine. But yeah, one of the TVs took a nice wind blast, and when it went down, it cracked itself.
It died. Yeah, gotcha.
It was not pretty anymore, so we pulled it out of production. And unfortunately, it was one of the Linux and the Ham Shack ones that right. were on loan due to me being there. But I did save it because I was going to e-waste it in Ohio, and I hadn't taken care of that, but I'll do it during Hamvention this time.
Right.
Yeah, we'll be using a loaner TV for our booth, which is fine as well, because we have six TVs over there that will eventually all die anyway.
And the thing is, usually those TVs are fairly cheap during like Black Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Around the Super Bowl, so yeah.
That's exactly what I said. I said, I don't think we paid that much for this, and in fact, I think the ones I bought for the Boy Scouts, I think I paid like $249, which I thought was expensive, but they were Vizio TVs. $249 right, yeah. for the 55-inchers, and I think Russ said you got the ones for like $199 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like $179. Yeah,
it was
around $200, yeah.
Yeah, so we have gotten the use out of them for sure, but we'll be borrowing one of the Vizios for our booth this year, until we decide to replace those at some point, which is, maybe we'll get a bigger one next time, try to get the 60-inch TV for, or 65-inch TV for $190 or something like that.
Cool, we'll see. Yeah.
Anyway, let's get on to the games here again. I have the browser-based game suites, that Cheryl found here, and I have two of them listed, and they have a compilation of many different games in them. The first one here is called Radio Book Game Suite. It's over on Tartan Leaf's website, and it has six interactive simulation games. The first one here is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I did get all six. Good. Just making sure I pasted them right. Band Propagation Simulator. It visualizes how signals travel through the ionosphere, adjust the frequency, time of day, solar conditions, and antenna type to see real-time propagation predictions. That could definitely be useful for people that don't understand how the maximum usable frequency or how the ionization changes throughout the day work. So definitely check that out if you're not familiar with that. Circuit Builder Challenge. This is a build and troubleshoot circuits hands-on. Learn components, reactants, and impedance by doing. Observe signals at each stage and understand how the building blocks of radio actually function. That might be a good tool to use for scouting too. I might take a look at that a little bit deeper. DX Station, it's a practice phonetics, cue codes, and operating procedures under time pressure, perfect for building confidence before your first on-the-air contact. The fourth one here is Interference Defense. Deploy filters and shielding to stop RFI. Oh, we could all learn about that. Learn interference mitigation strategies by diagnosing realistic radio problems with a virtual toolkit. Then we have the licensed class ladder. It's an escape room style progression through real exam questions banks for the USA. That's from the NCVEC and from Canada, the ISED. It reinforces everything you have studied with interactive practice. And then the final one that they have there is antenna tuner. Match your antenna to your rig. Learn SWR, impedance matching, and how to tune for maximum power transfer across different bands. And again, that's over on tartanleaf.com, I believe. And the other one here is SarcNet, SARCNET. This is Australian Schools Amateur Radio Club Network. Despite the youth focus, it covers nearly every foundational topic beginners need. Call signs, phonetic alphabet, Morse code, including a battleship-style game, which we'll talk about another one later. Cue codes, RST codes, band plans, operating procedures, HF, VHF, UHF repeater, satellite comms, direction finding, RFI hunting, emergency procedures, electronics, microcontroller, solar labs, antenna and station construction, digital modes, and SDR. And if that sounds like a lot, it is a lot. So you definitely want to check out StarkNet. There's just a ton of activities on their website. I believe they have up to 28 different activities currently listed on their website, and they are always updating and changing. So make sure you take a look at that. I see that they have several that are still under construction, like the Solar Power Lab is still under construction, and the software-defined radio is still under construction. But check them out and give them feedback so they can continue to build and improve on those particular applications.
Yeah, so I'm gonna take over the mobile apps aspect, and I know Bill did this purely because I'm always got my nose buried in my phone. But our first one is called Ham Gaming, and is a friendly collection of bite-sized amateur radio mini games, gentle enough for kids and newcomers, with speed drills and depth that scale up for licensed operators. There's play and learn on it with a phonetic alphabet, cue codes, Morse code, call sign prefixes, bands and modes, speed drills and Morse pacing that you can grow with, and voice games, speaking phonetics and full QSO exchanges. Then your answers are checked by the device's system speech recognizer. There's a full rig simulator, so you can tune a virtual transceiver across 14 bands with a weighted inertia coasting VFO knob. There's live spectrum waterfall, S-meter, working RF-AF RIT filters, press and hold PTT, blah, 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 blah. Play freeform or pick a mode, missions, fox hunt, QRM, drill, or a contest run. And there's a, you can follow a simulated satellite pass by turning and tilting your phone for the compass and motion. Antenna and propagation labs, design a Yagi, sweep a nano VNA, ride Doppler. Regretfully, I can't check any of this out because it's all through the Apple App Store, and I'm an Android person. So,
Oh no,
that takes me out. Now, Russ does have an Apple phone and is laying here on my desk, but I did not actually check it out. So, and then our next one, which is in the Google Play Store, is the Amateur Ham Radio Q Code Quiz. And it's Q codes, Q signals are used by amateur ham radio operators and other radio services as a form of shorthand and abbreviations for commonly exchanged information. Originating with Morse code operators, Q codes are also widely used on phone as a common language among other hams all over the world. And we have a link for that for the Google Play Store app. So definitely go check those out. The Amateur Ham Radio Q Code Quiz one looked really, really interesting to me. So I'll probably, when I get some time, go check that out. So
yeah, and I was just looking at the one for the Apple App Store, the Ham Gaming one, and I noticed that this one is sort of originally geared towards scouting. Cause I actually have a little. Like their screenshots, they have a little scout on there talking
right,
on
yeah,
the radio.
I saw that when I found it, yeah.
Yeah, that looks really cool. And it looks like the author has quite a few other ham radio-like applications available on the App Store as well for free, including ham satting, ham logging, ham engineering, ham listening, ham imaging, and ham learning. And the ham learning one, what does this have? Is a complete offline first study companion for amateur radio. From your first technician ticket all the way to your extra, plus real Morse code training and live shortwave listening. So yeah, this is somebody definitely giving back to the hobby. And this is Yusuf El Balushi. So yeah, I don't know if these are, hopefully if they're on the App Store, they should be safe to use. But, hey, always use your own judgment when installing applications. Most of these appear to be offline apps, so they shouldn't need any egregious permissions. But it looks like the author is definitely interested in ham radio stuff. His little code name is Unix Ear, so definitely a Linux maybe / Unix guy. So very, very cool. Very cool. And you did the other one, the Google Play one. So yep. I didn't check that one out yet, but that one looks pretty cool. The next section here is video indie games. So these are, both of these are found on the Steam Play Store, so or the steampowered.com. You can find these. And this first one is called Full Quiet. It's a in this open world game of survival, mystery, and adventure, you must learn how Pap and his radio buddies maintained their radio grid, protected the lands they now walk, and silenced the forest in order to find your missing son. So kind of a mystery game where you have to rebuild Pap's, your father's, I guess, old ham radio, and then try to piece together everything from that point. And it looks kind of cool. It's not like high-end graphics or anything else like that, but definitely check it out on Steam. Let's see, what does it cost on Steam? $9.99, so not terribly expensive, but it's definitely reminds me a lot of Commander Keen. So if you like those kind of 2D games, that might be right up your alley. The second game here that we found is called Morris. And its title is Vanquish Kaiser's Imperial Fleet Using Timing, Tactics, and Telegraphy in Morse, a minimalistic strategy game that teaches you the secret language of Morse code. Can you change the world with a push of a button? Or I guess the click of a mouse, huh? where you have to basically figure out letters to move around the board, and you unload additional skills and everything else along the way, including arsenal unlocks and all kinds of stuff. And graphics here again, very limited. But I think the point of the game is to teach you to use Morse code, which is kind of always fun. And this one is a little more expensive, $13.99. So, there is a demo that you can download and try out. And it says it's Windows only, but it most likely runs fine within the context of Proton, the emulation engine inside of Steam for all of your Linux devices, including the Steam Deck. And that's all the stuff on Steam that we could find. Cheryl?
Okay, so I've made a little side jaunt over here to Google. Yusif Al-Balushi, I'm assuming that's correct. His call sign is A46UNX. He is an Omani telecommunications engineer, professional, and software developer. So, and he's created a suite of mobile applications tailored specifically for the global amateur radio community. So he's based in Muscat, Oman, and he works with the national telecom operator Omantel, leveraging a technical background in electronics and telecommunication engineering. So, and he's got four different apps listed here that ham logging app, ham gaming app, ham engineering app, and ham listening app. So there you go. That was my little side jaunt there. So
go Google.
Of Google. Yeah. So back to the podcast. So the next category we're covering is club created activities. And the one and only one that we have in that is the W6HA, Fun Ways to Use Your Radio and Build Skills. And it's on-air games and challenges created by the Hughes Amateur Radio Club to inspire actual operating, not just study. Building good radio skills comes from using one's radio. After earning their FCC amateur radio license, many hams infrequently use their license and radio equipment. This may be for many reasons, including not knowing how to program the radio, not knowing how to choose the right frequencies, mic fright, no one to talk with, otherwise known as radio shyness, and the uncertainty about how to use many features on their radio. So radio games can help the AM radio operator use his well-earned license and equipment. Research on gamification shows it has positive effects on individuals. It has the potential to improve user engagement, organizational productivity, as in CERT teams, learning and usefulness of the systems. And this is from the W6HA website. And this sounds like something I should probably go check out. So,
yeah, they have many things on there, including like radio bingo, radio treasure hunt, a ham code scramble, and contesting. So, yeah, check it out. It's always cool to see ham radio clubs that are interested in not just, running repeaters and stuff like that, but are actually interested in driving learning and education and development of the skills of amateur radio. So check them out. I get all the Morse code practice stuff and all the Morse code tools and stuff like that. So we have, we have our favorite in the list as well that you can see posted almost daily here on the LHS podcast Discord channel. And it gives me an opportunity to tell you, join Discord and you can see how everybody is doing on Morsel because they will post it. So yeah, that's Morsel. It's a daily Wordle style Morse code word guessing challenge. From Remote Ham Radio. 21 guesses, starts at 40 words a minute and then slows every 3 tries. And they have a hard mode too, which kind of removes some of the gap between the letters. So it makes it a little bit harder to discern the actual letters themselves. It makes you focus more on the word. So check out Morsel, morsel.fun. The other ones we have here is CW Bot. This one was kind of interesting. So the next 3 are all from Ham Radio Duo's website. This one is called CW Bot. It practices full QSOs against an AI bot via keyboard or V-band, V-AL, V, I don't even know what that is, key adapter. when you join the website, you're presented with a prompt. Hey, well, welcome to chatbots. Welcome, it says. Welcome to the Morse code conversation bot. Each time you visit this page, a new virtual friend is generated for you to talk to using Morse code. Simply use the left bracket and right bracket keys on your keyboard, or if you have a V-band adapter, use it to send Morse code with a key or a paddle. At the end of your message, it will end it with a BK or K, and the message will be sent. When you receive messages, they are displayed on the screen by default. You can hide the messages with a button at the upper left so that you can just use your own decoding skills. You can change the tone, speed, and spacing using the settings button at the upper right. Enjoy. So check that one out. They also have Morse Battleship, like we mentioned before, on another site. This is a battleship-style game built around sending and copying Morse code. You destroy all enemy turrets before they destroy yours. Use Morse code to communicate with your weapons systems. And then the last one from Ham Radio Duo that we found is CW Checker. It analyzes your Morse timing fist using V-band or VL adapter. I guess I got to figure out what that VL adapter is. This tool allows you to input Morse code with your keyboard or a V-band VL adapter. It analyzes what you send and visually compares the ideal timing to your actual sending in the timing comparison section for the last letter sent. So if you're working on improving your sending and whatnot and want to do it via the keyboard, or if you have one of these fancy adapters that plug into your computer, check out CW Checker on Ham Radio Duo. And I believe that brings us down to the end of our ham radio gamification list that we curated for you this evening. So I don't see anybody chatting about it in the chat room. So we'll just go straight into our announcements and feedback.
Okay, as typical, we need help supporting the show, and you can do that via Patreon, PayPal, merch, sharing the podcast via social media, rating us in your podcast application. Your support allows us to continue to pay to host and produce the 18 years of the podcast and participate in person at Hamvention. We need your feedback, comments, questions, show topic ideas. Email us at info@lhspodcast.info. And for those interested, there will be a memorial service for Russ, K5TUX, at our home in Mount Vernon, Missouri on November 1st. You'll get to see me, you'll get to see Bill, and of course, everyone is welcome. If you'd like to join us, please send an email to info@lhspodcast.info and we'll give you more info. Or you can visit our Facebook event page and that link will be in the show notes.
Yeah, and I hear there's possibly a poker game going on too that day.
I don't know. There's gonna be a tournament poker game going on that night or that afternoon. So
if you want to have some fun, low stakes, just come on in and have some fun with that as well.
Yeah,
it's always a good time. We did get one piece of feedback from our last episode. Pretty much instantly when we had posted the episode, I didn't even post it on social media. And Sad Servers reached out to us on X, and they were said thanks for the Sad Servers mention. So thank you, Sad Servers, for responding and listening to the show. I don't know who's over on that team that listens, but if you guys would ever like to talk to us on the show, please reach out to us at info@lhspodcast.info, and we'd be happy to chat with you about a possible episode talking about what's going on over there. And that brings us over to subscribers and supporters.
Okay. So I guess you're going to let me do that too.
Yeah.
So this week on PayPal, we had David Eisenhart and Dylan Engel. On X, we had Sad Servers. On Mastodon, we had Rob at mastodon.nz. On Discord, we had Eric W8WEB, Carl G, Jordan KFO or KF0, excuse me, YWB, K4CVR, Paul, Aaron with double A, and Guy in a Bad Mood. So yeah. For our live show participants, we had Steve KJ5T and Mike K5GT.
Or K6. Sorry, K6. That was me. I typed it in wrong.
Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. I was like, that doesn't seem right.
No, that definitely seemed wrong. I was just looking at it. I was like, that is wrong. How did I screw that up?
Well, yeah, that's okay. When I was typing Steve's out earlier, I kept hitting 6. I was like, it's not 6. It's 5.
Messing up our parts of the country here. Jeez. You know. they don't even complain to us on the chat room here. So
they're just like, meh, whatever. They'll figure it out.
So. we'll let Steve finish typing because he is typing something right now.
Oh, is he? Yeah, he is typing. I was looking at the Veil adapters, and it's obviously a purchased thing, but it says it's the ultimate Morse code interface. It's okay. Connector key to any computer for practice, training, and on-air operation with zero delay side tone.
So. Interesting. Yeah, this looks pretty cool. And
yeah, they start at $22.
$22. So oh my god.
Yeah, that seems pretty cheap actually. So
it's not too bad to jack your key right into it. Your key of choice. That way you're not sending with the sloppy keyboard. And right. Although it is always fun to watch people try sending with devices they're not used to sending with. My favorite is using the up down buttons on the microphone to actually send as a paddle your dits and dahs. That's definitely
okay.
Definitely professional grade. If you can send with a microphone up and down keys, you're probably pretty good at this whole CW thing here. And Steve says,
"Yeah, the one
he's used his five trig project to remotely key the FTXD." Or FTDX 10. Oh, okay, cool.
And the one thing, while I don't miss the noise, the one thing I do miss from moving buildings at Hamvention is not being able to watch the teenagers at the booth that was at the end of the row that we were on doing their CW keying.
Oh, the Morse code challenge where they try to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where they go they, like 100 words a minute.
Some of those kids were insane. And I was just like, how old is this kid? And they're like, oh, he's 13. And I'm like, whatever.
So. Yeah, that's definitely a game to play as well for CW. I forget which program they're using for that. But basically they're given a string and then they have to decode it as fast as they can. And they have to, the whole thing's timed over and over again.
Yeah.
Is that Morse Runner? Yeah. Okay. Morse Runner. Steve says it's Morse Runner.
Yeah. So, he should know since he's our Morse person. So, you know.
Morse guy. So, that's probably one we didn't mention. It's a DX Atlas application, Morse Runner, and probably would run under Wine, I believe. It's a Windows 95 / whatever, Windows, and, you know, Windows 10 kind of application running Windows forms. That looks kind of a fun game as well. So check that one out over on dxatlas.com. And I think that might be it for the podcast tonight.
I think that's it for tonight. So that definitely brings us down to the end of the show. Thanks for listening to episode 629. Next time, we'll catch you with our Weekender. For Russ, K5TUX, I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Live recordings are Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. Our homepage can be found at lhspodcast.info. You can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/lhspodcast. We're also on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Mastodon. Contact us via email at info@lhspodcast.info or via voicemail at 1909-547-7469. That's 1909-LHS-SHOW. We also have merch. So until next we meet, remember to always heed your hedonism.